Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Hello and welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. My name is Brandi Stankovic. And for anyone that doesn't know me, then you should by now, because we're well into our episodes of the Strategic Hot Box. But I'm an organizational change consultant, and I'm also the mommy of two beautiful baby boys that I call my beefcakes. And I have the opportunity to teach college at the community college here, the College of Southern Nevada. So today's episode is called Emotional Intelligence is More Than Emojis. So the way that, as you know, our podcast is broken down is into three sections. We've got learn, love, and kick ass. So if this is the first time that you're joining us, welcome. But we start with a learn section where we throw a business challenge or something that we're seeing out there in leadership, an issue that different leaders are facing. The second is the love section where we talk to a subject matter expert, and we have a rockin' subject matter expert for today. You're going to love her. Her name's Shauna. And then the third section is called Kick Ass, where I give you tools that you may need to succeed, because I want you to start doing something differently today, because really it's in the execution where things are changed. And it's in the execution where knowledge is embedded, where differentiation is created. I don't know if you've seen any of those reality shows, but I recently watched American Idol, and the last season, the final season, it was on, you know, earlier this spring, and they talked about there's this one gal on the show, and she was just absolutely incredibly talented, and all of the judges kept saying she's blessed. Oh, you were just born with this beautiful voice. And I think that's total bullshit. I'll leave different sessions, and people come up to me and go, oh wow, you know, how do you learn to, or, you know, were you just born with this ability to present in front of groups, or were you just born with this different thing? I'm like, hell no. This is really hard work. I sweat and get nervous just like the rest of the human race, right? It's just really about the fact that I consider it a craft. I consider this my sport. I want to get better and better at it all the time and every single day. And so our kick-ass session is about helping you become better and better at the things that you want to be going after. It's about helping you kick ass. So let's dive in. Let's rock and roll. So today, emotional intelligence in this world of digital communication, it's more than emojis. And what does that mean, more than emojis? How many of you spend time on your cell phone or spend time on email or on your computer? I imagine that you're doing either one of those right now, and the fact that you're listening to or watching me, right? I mean, here joining me. And so with that, I mean, we spend so much time in a digital capacity. And so our communication in life is completely transforming. And so emotional intelligence, our ability to express ourselves emotionally, is completely transforming and has done so really quickly. If you think about it, pretty much everybody out there had a flip phone 10 years ago. Maybe 15 years ago, right? So I know that there's still some people in your life that you make fun of because they still have a flip phone. But there are, I mean, all of us were using those 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, cell phones weren't even around really 15 years ago. If you think about it, nobody was even, I mean, it was back in like the Nokia days. Is that bad to say that it's like Nokia is like no longer around? But you get where I'm saying. And so emotional intelligence is really, the need for this has been on the rise in the last several years. So what is emotional intelligence in general? It's the ability for us to manage our own emotions, to be aware of them first and then manage them in our own emotions. So awareness and management, as well as how that understands the impact on other people. So emotional intelligence, our ability to be aware and manage our own emotions and how that impacts other people. What it's not is how to control the emotions of other people. And what I mean by that is I'll have people ask me when I talk about emotional intelligence, they'll say, okay, just get to the point. Tell me how I just change Sally in accounting. I just need her to just stop doing what she's doing, right? And I'm like, that's not what emotional intelligence is. It's not about changing other people. It's about changing ourselves and being able to manage and be more aware of ourselves and how that impacts other people to help better manage the mood and the awareness of what's happening. And it will impact other people, but it's all about what we can do on our own and for our own selves. And it really impacts everything we do. Most importantly, our social skills. And as I mentioned, our social skills are primarily these days online or in some sort of digital form. So with digital communication, then, the reality is that the relationships we have with other human beings are they're primarily a lot of times online. So either they start online or they end up online. Let me give you an example of this. So you may meet somebody online, maybe whether it's through business, through email, you're networking or something, or through LinkedIn or some other application. Maybe it's through dating and you're doing Grindr, or what's that other one where you're doing that? That's the only one I could think of. They're making fun of me here, just so you know. Or the other one where you swipe right or whatever. Clearly, I'm at Tinder, thank you. I'm clearly out of my game when it comes to the dating applications. But the when it comes to relationships with the people that, so those are people that you have not met yet. How about with the relationships with people that you have met that you're staying in touch with? So my brother and I, of course, are friends on Facebook, and he's my best friend, and he lives in Boston. So his wife is originally from the East Coast. He moved his entire family to Boston. He has three incredible, beautiful little babies, my nieces and nephew, and I love them dearly. But let's face it, my entire relationship with my brother these days is either through Facebook or through FaceTime, right? And I mean, this is somebody that's my best friend. This is the kids that I want to be in their lives. And that's the way that we're making it happen. But it's almost entirely digital. So our relationships that we have with people are going to be digital. They are. I mean, it just is what's going on. So emotional intelligence in that, and our ability to communicate effectively and be who we want to be, is going to be essential. So, the final piece that I want to share this with you is, if you have the opportunity to build a relationship with somebody, and we're going to dig into this, but do your best to do that in person. So if you are texting the cube next to you, or if you're emailing somebody that's in an office and you could actually get up and go talk to them, you should do that, because those in-person relationships really are the basis for what we end up pulling this communication piece, the digital piece, from. So let's dig in here a little bit. What do we do about this? So in order to be better at our digital communication and do more than offer a bunch of emojis, the first thing I recommend that we do is to become more aware and become more emotionally intelligent. And how we do that is by identifying, acknowledging, and labeling our emotions. So it's just being aware of the breadth of what those emotions are, having a more robust emotional vocabulary. So instead of, when I ask my husband, and it's so great, he's going to listen to this and be like, really? Why do I have to be a topic of your conversation on your podcast? But anyway, when I ask my husband, I'm like, how are you? And maybe he's not happy, and he says, I'm mad. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Are you mad hungry? Are you mad frustrated? Are you mad stressed? Are you mad tired? Are you just mad? I mean, that really could mean so many different things. And so the more robust of an emotional vocabulary we have, the more able we are to identify what those emotions are, because they can be handled in different ways, right? The same is true for our other employees. If we're aware of what's happening in the people around us, and we have a more robust ability to be able to define that, we'll be able to help them through those emotions, or work, you know, in the situations a lot more effectively. The second tool is being aware then of your own destructive triggers, your own destructive emotions, and your own triggers that you have inside. And what I mean by that is those things inside of you that cause you to just snap. And maybe it's snap good or it's snap bad. I mean, just the things that cause those triggers, those destructive places that you go. And it can happen pretty quickly. And once it usually goes down a bad path, people have a tough time pulling it back. And what I mean, like, give you an example. Like, if you've ever been out at a party, and maybe you get into it with a friend, or two people are getting into it, and next thing you know, like, two guys are getting all puffy chested, and one guy's being tougher than the other guy, and da 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 da, right? And they get really wound up. And maybe the next day you think to yourself, I probably didn't need to get so wound up, right? I didn't need to take me to that place. That wasn't effective for myself or for anybody else. But in the moment, it's really hard to get out of that. So when it comes to these destructive emotions and triggers, we want to be able to identify that they're happening and be aware of them, so you can snap yourself out of it in the moment. And the same is true in digital. Have you ever gotten a text from somebody that just bugs you? Or you see a call and you're like, voicemail, right? Like, I am not answering that, right? Or you can't help yourself but over email somebody back. I mean, we have these same triggers in digital form as well. And a big piece of these destructive emotions is the role of stress, the role that stress plays in our lives, and how when a person does get stressed out, what's their tolerance for things that occur? And our stress levels can be pretty high throughout the day, can they not? I mean, if you think about the work that you have or the friends, the relationships, the families, all the different things that you're facing, those stress can really impact you. And then how do you play into that? What does your emotional intelligence look like in a place of stress? How do you communicate via text, via email, and all these different places when you are stressed? Identify that. And the final piece when it comes to this destructive thing that I want to mention is the destructive emotions that aren't outward. Most of the time when we think about destructive emotions, we think about anger, right? We think about things that are like rawr outside. But the most powerful destructive emotions are the ones that are inside, the ones that are in here, the ones where you tell yourself over and over, hey, I'm not good enough. Right? And how badly does that get in your way? And when I say it out loud, it almost sounds silly. When you say things out loud, the things that are the voices that you have going on in your head, it almost sounds ridiculous. Well, it is ridiculous because you are good enough. And getting rid of these stories and the emotions that you're playing that you're not sharing, right, that are inward emotions, can be a really powerful tool. So what to continue us down this path of what we can do about it, I want you to use in-person communication as much as you can. So I mentioned get up and talk to the person in the cube next to you. Build on those relationships. The reason that the FaceTime and Facebook relationship works with my brother is because we have an in-person relationship too. And so we can build on that and get up to speed on what's happening in each other's lives. And it's a lot harder to do with a stranger, right? And it's a lot harder to, you end up creating your own meaning for emails. You create your own kind of interpretation because you don't know the human being. You don't know where they were coming from or what their perspective is. The final kind of component of emotional intelligence and digital kind of communication that I want to leave you with before we bring our subject matter expert in is the idea of managing a digital brand. And I've spoken about this with you when we talked to Jet Mitchell in one of the previous podcasts. I talked to you about this, in a lot of different capacities. And really it's the fact that what's happening in a digital presence becomes who you are. I recently saw the karaoke driving, it's called Carpool Karaoke with James Corden. And Gwen Stefani was on it. It's one of my favorite ones. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. But she just loves emojis, and it's her way of expressing emotion and love to people around her. And I was thinking that she then has people will end up having a relationship with her and have a relationship with emojis with her. Do you have that friend in your life that sends emojis or will overuse emojis or potentially underuse them? And so it ends up meaning something less or meaning something more because of that. Emojis actually can create meaning. Think about it. Think about it if you were to get emoji heart-eyed text message from like a certain someone that's kind of sexy in the office, and out of nowhere, they were to send you this emoji heart eyes or something. I mean, you'd at least go, what? Right? I mean, you wouldn't be able to help it. And so there's something that's created in that. So we have to be able to manage our digital brand, like what it is that we are communicating with people, what it is that we offer to other individuals, what do we offer to the world? And the same is true with our Facebook and other social media platforms. Let me give you an example of this. I recently had an employee that is no longer working with us. It wasn't the best cultural fit, but one of the things that we had, the conversations that we had at the very end, was she said to me, you don't really know me. And I thought to myself in that moment, I'm sure there was a lot that was happening in her life. And there was absolutely a lot that was happening in her lives that I didn't have the opportunity to get to know. I just didn't. I mean, we only knew each other in the professional capacity. However, she spent 10 hours a day, so it's 10 hours a day with me at the office, right? So I did know her. And the same is true in the digital brand as well. If you are the kind of person that posts on Facebook food or Instagram or those kinds of things, that becomes who you are. So in the case of this employee, I was saying to you that regardless of whether or not you want this to be you or not, it's becoming part of your brand because you're spending 10 hours a day in this place. So if your digital brand is representing this certain energy or communication, then you are delivering that to the world. You are saying, this is who I am. I had conversations with different relatives and mother-in-law about photos of my babies. And, you know, just posting pictures of kids is awesome, right? But sometimes the pictures of the kids are so bad. And I've called and been like, what is that picture? And the moment was cool and it was special and yada yada. And sometimes, you know, they'll take it down or sometimes they won't or whatever. But gone are the days with passive posting of things. We have to manage that because it's part of the communication. It becomes part of who you are and what you're representing. And that also includes grammar, spelling, and all of that, right? Step up the grammar game. Step up the word check. And if you don't know what the cliche is, give it a Google. It takes like 2 seconds to do that. So much. I'll get a text message from somebody that's trying to, you know, talk to me, or a professional email. Somebody's trying to talk to me and the grammar will be screwed up in it. And I'm like, this was exciting to me until I read it. And then it's just not that exciting anymore, right? So step up our game. The world expects us to be on top of it. And emotional intelligence really is going to require that for us to be there. So a person that's going to be able to communicate with us on how this really plays out and how it works in the realm of customer service is a friend of mine, an all-star, Shauna Shearson. She's the vice president of contact center and training for Kern Schools Federal Credit Union. It's a financial institution that serves the area of Bakersfield. She runs the call center and training departments, but she's also tasked with changing the culture of the organization to be more member-focused or consumer-customer-centric. So she's going to give us another perspective on emotional intelligence and what that looks like. So please welcome Shauna. Hello, Shauna.
Hello, Brandy.
How are you doing?
How are you? I'm great. Thank you.
So excited that you're here.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
So in regards to emotional intelligence, what do you think? How does that play out in your realm? I mean, tell us a little bit about what you see on a day-to-day basis.
Well, it's huge. Every time there are people getting together and trying to communicate, it's an impact. But I think definitely in our contact center, you can really see it play out. We have a little over 30 call center agents. And actually, they're not just on the phones, but they also do live chat and email with our members as well. And a lot of times when the members are trying to contact us, it's because they've had a problem. So those triggers you were talking about play a key role in the emotional state of our members that contact us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just come at us with guns blazing, wanting their problem fixed. Mm-hmm. And it requires our contact center agents to have a lot of emotional intelligence, to be really aware of their emotions and be able to manage them, and then come back and really focus on the member and their issues, asking the questions in a way that will let the member know that they are going to solve their problem.
Yes.
But all of that is intense. There's a lot of it. And especially without the face-to-face communication, you're losing a portion of the communication message. And over the phone, you lose a little bit. And then over chat or email, you lose even more. Mm-hmm. And with the shorthand of text messages, sometimes it's really hard to decipher that written communication.
Do you use emojis?
I encourage our contact center team to not use emojis when communicating with our members.
Oh, that's
but
good.
I will say every now and then there's a smiley face that goes in there, and you know, there it conveys something. So it's not always a bad thing.
So just so the listeners and people that are watching are super clear, contact center is who people call into when they call the financial institution. So I pick up the phone or I get online and I contact your team, and any, you know, digital communications coming to you and your team.
That's right. That's it.
And so in regards to that, what have you learned from experience in this area?
Well, for one thing, I admire my team so much, but thinking about the other user before just firing back is huge. Trying to have compassion and empathy before you start. Also, what I've learned personally about my communication, especially with technology, so I use a ton of email, and I tend to be a little bit on the direct side. A lot of times I want to start an email by just diving right into the tasks, and a lot of times I have to take 2 steps back and think about who's on the other side and how they're going to receive it. And I feel like if you spend a little time on the front end building rapport with people, just like you would in person, say hi first before you bark orders. And if you do that with email, you can build a relationship with people, even people you've never met. so many work sites are remote now. Nobody mm-hmm. goes into an office.
It's true.
And you might not even have FaceTime with anybody that you work with ever. Mm-hmm. And so building those relationships, I think, is super important, especially later on. Every workplace has conflict. Right. We may have disagreements about how we need to proceed with a project. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd think if we have less of a personal relationship, then we might have a less personal conflict, but it's actually an inverse relationship. The less of a personal relationship we have when conflict comes along, the more we personalize it instead of making it about just the work.
It's
Whereas
true.
If we have a relationship, then when conflict comes along, we can just work on the conflict together.
Right.
And so having that relationship and building rapport with people, even through email, especially through email, I think is definitely a lesson that I've learned.
Yes. And are you able to establish those relationships with your members then also in that same way? So not just inner employee, but also with the membership and the customers?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think one of the big things is we always encourage our contact center team to express a desire to help. Mm-hmm. And that human touch has a huge impact, but it has to be genuine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been on the other side of somebody in a cold voice in a call center telling you, yes, I can help you with that.
You can tell they're reading out of a manual.
Most like, definitely.
No,
just
I cannot do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's terrible. So having that genuineness, the sincerity is super important. And expressing, doing the rapport building, letting them know you're here for them. And man, we have some fantastic people working in our contact center that are able to do that in short time.
Oh, that's amazing. So if you could leave the listeners or the people watching with one action item or takeaway or a couple action item takeaway to change, you know, what they're doing now, what would it be?
I'd have to say, take the few minutes when you start any email or any digital communication and think about the person on the other side and spend a sentence or two of rapport building, or even more than that if you've got the time, before you focus on the tasks. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find that you can build those tech relationships just as well as you can the in-person ones, and it'll really pay off in the long run.
That's true. So now I have a really important question that's so off script. What's your take on drunk texting?
Oh, it is a bad idea, but it's really funny. I say don't do it, but if you can encourage other people to do it and just be on the outside looking in.
Right. I love receiving them. I really am always like head in hand when I send them. And it's usually your fault if I'm in a situation to send drunk texts. I'll just have you know.
I don't believe that for a second.
Well, thank you so much, Shauna. I appreciate you being a part of this today, and I will see you very soon.
Thanks, Brandy.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, Stacy from Season 2 Naked and Afraid XL here. Wanted to give a shout out to my girl, Brandy Stankovic, on the Strategic Hotbox. Check her out.
Welcome back. It's a thank you again to Shauna. That was really fun to talk with her. It's also cool to see Stacy there from Naked and Afraid XL, which was on the Discovery Channel. And honestly, if I could pick one person, I've known Stacy for a number of years, and if I could pick one person that is a total badass in the wilderness, somebody that could skin an animal fast, but also happens to look really great naked, It would be her. So definitely check her out on Naked and Afraid XL. One thing that I wanted to talk about really quickly with Shauna is she brought up a really awesome point about expressing the desire to help and to build the relationships with the people. So her teammates are building relationships with members. And one of the challenges that I found in teaching at the community college and teaching online is building a relationship with my students while teaching online. And so one thing that I've tried to do is take the ordinary kind of discussion groups and use it as an opportunity for them to get to know one another. And I use something that I call the affinity process. I actually learned it years ago through quantum learning, Bobby DePorter. And it's a process of three questions. One, tell me something about you that I don't know. 2, tell me something that you like about me. And 3, tell me something that we have in common. And those 3 questions give an opportunity for you to really get to know somebody and build a relationship and build that rapport. And if anybody has ever even been around me, even for the shortest amount of time, or have ever had a cocktail with me, you definitely have heard these questions from me. But I think it's an opportunity for people really to break. It's so beyond breaking the ice. It's about understanding the person. It's about getting to know them. It's about building a commonality and about building a bond. And if you do that online, it really breaks that boundary that we have, that screen boundary. Because so often people will say things, students will say things to me, send me messages as a professor that they would never have the guts to say to my face, ever. Right? I would like dare a student to walk up to me after class in a classroom and say some of the things that people just shoot off online, right? But the opposite is also true in the beneficial way. Like people say really nice things that I don't think they'd have the guts to say in person. And so building a relationship through different processes is really important. And Shauna really hit that. So what I'd like to do now is give you our kick-ass top 5 for today. And of course, if you can see your screen, I included my Bitmoji, the love ya. Does it look the same? No, kind of. I wanted to give you these strategies to take away with you today. First is to manage your digital brand. We've talked about it before. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. Know what you've got posted online. Know what you have out there. Manage it. Make sure that you're intentional with it. If you want to look like a drunk idiot online, cool. That's cool. Just know that you do. If you want to look like you have a resting, you know, bitch face like those cats or whatever, it's totally cool. That's great. But just know that that's the way that it looks out there. Manage what you got. Be intentional. Second, get up when you can and build that in-person relationship. Shauna said it. I urge you to do that. Get up off your booty whenever you have the opportunity and talk to people around you. 3, build that emotional intelligence in a general sense, like broadening your emotional vocabulary, understanding your triggers and things to be able to then, it'll help you build your emotional intelligence in a digital sense as well. 4, beware of your destructive emotions. Now, I'm also urging you to beware of those internal destructive emotions and triggers. Know what stress, the role that stress plays on you and how it impacts you in the office. And finally, I had this be its own piece just because it's one of those things for me, but step up the grammar game, right? When it comes to the digital presence, when it comes to digital communications, texting, emails, any of these pieces, even some of the sharing of the web through video, we have to be able to be on top of our game regardless. It just because we have this digital connection. Back in the day, you could get away with some of the text abbreviations because of the fact that you're texting. Gone are those days. So there's your kick-ass top 5 for today. So I want to thank you so much again for being a part of the Strategic Hot Box today. I want to thank Shauna Shearson for joining us via Skype. That was awesome to hear her story. We'd love to hear from you on any topics that you'd like us to tackle here, leadership challenges or issues. Share any thoughts that you have or questions on Instagram or Twitter at BrandiLove, BrandiLuv, or email us. And I think the email is below. It's podcast@strategichotbox.com. And be sure to add this show to your favorite RSS feed, and we'll keep all of the fun episodes and topics coming your way. Or you can download them, of course, at thestrategichotbox.com anytime. And of course, if you need any extra awesomeness or any more of me in your life, then you could pick up a copy of The Strategic MVP, a book that I had the opportunity to co-author with Mark Thompson. And you can get it at any place that books are sold. So thank you again. Until next time, get out there and kick some ass.